Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. And you can find that on your bulletin in the insert. On the back of that insert, I have placed the text from which I will be reading. Not all the Bibles in the pew are of the same version, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, Luke chapter 15, the first 10 verses. In our congregation, we've been working our way through the parables of Luke, and this morning we find ourselves on the parable of the lost coin. But for the sake of context this morning, I'll be reading as well the parable from last week, the parable of the lost sheep. So let us begin reading from the Word of God, Luke 15, the verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Thus, the reading of God's Word this morning, we find it in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Keep in mind that in your bulletins there is the insert that has the scripture reading on one side and an outline of this morning's message on the other. Congregation of our Lord Jesus, there are so many preachers today who say that there is very little difference between the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And so instead of preaching a separate sermon on the parable of the lost sheep and then on the lost coin, most preachers will preach one sermon that covers both parables, saying there's very little distinction between the two. Or some will focus a sermon on the parable of the lost sheep and skip over the parable of the lost coin, preaching the next in the sermon series on the parable of the lost son. Now it's true, there are a good number of similarities between these two parables. Both of the parables portray God seeking after the lost, searching out the lost sheep and searching for the lost coin until it is found. And you notice verse 4 and verse 8 of our text end exactly the same way: until he finds it and until she finds it. A second connection between the two is that both parables have a celebration description which is almost exactly the same. The verses that we see in verse 6 and verse 9 of our text are almost exactly the same. When you read them, it says that when he has found the sheep, verse 5, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." The same celebration is described in verse 9. When she finds the coin, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying almost exactly the same thing: "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." And both parables, thirdly, end almost exactly the same way. not just an earthly joy and celebration for the person found what was lost, but they both end with heavenly joy. Heavenly joy, which is a joy that the parable is pointing to, the joy of one sinner who repents. And because that one sinner repents, there is joy in heaven. And as we see in verse 10, what's more, the angels of God sing for joy over every sinner that repents. But you see, this morning, as we look at these two parables, there are also some important differences. Jesus is not simply telling us in these two parables exactly the same thing, but in two different ways you will see this morning that the parable of the lost coin reveals to us still something more. Something more about the state of the sinner and something more about the heart of God. As we begin this parable this morning, let's be sure to keep in mind the focus of God's parables as they are told and from what perspective a parable is told. In this parable, we have the story of a woman who has lost a coin. But what does the coin illustrate? Is it simply an earthly story that's pointing to an earthly coin? The end of the parable reminds us the focus, the vertical focus of this parable and its meaning. The coin is representative of a person, a lost person, a person who is lost in their sin and has come to repentance. That's what the coin is pointing to, and we see it in verse 10. Just so I tell you, Jesus says, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's what happens in heaven when one sinner comes to repentance before God. There is joy, such joy that even the angels of heaven are celebrating that soul that God has saved and brought unto salvation. And God has given to us this morning the parable of the lost coin to reveal to us what's more, in an earthly way, what is happening in heaven in a greater way. In other words, what is true for the woman and the lost coin, how much greater for a person who has been found by God? Yes, Jesus is speaking to us this morning in this parable about eternal matters. And when a parable is focused on and understood in an eternal, vertical way, not horizontally, but vertically from heaven, we understand the depth of its meaning. Now, the first part of emphasis in this parable that Jesus wants us to understand that was not made in the parable of the lost sheep is the impossibility of the coin to do anything to be found. In the parable of the lost sheep, it is possible that the sheep could somehow wander back on its own into the flock. The sheep which has wandered away from the other 99 might possibly hear the call of the shepherd as the shepherd is searching and calling out to the sheep. The sheep might eventually hear the shepherd's voice and move or respond to the shepherd's call. The analogy of the sheep that is lost needs a second emphasis, and Jesus knows it, which is why he follows that parable with the parable of the lost coin. In the image of the coin that Jesus uses, he is using an image this time of something that cannot move, something that cannot speak. A coin cannot respond to the woman's call. The coin is dead. The coin has no life. That coin is buried somewhere, perhaps on the floor, under the dust. It is dead. It is as dead as a body which is dead and buried in the ground. This is the image that Jesus now uses in this parable to describe the lost sinner. A coin has no ability to save itself. What is true of the coin then? How much more true of a sinner? A sinner cannot move unto God on his own. A sinner is born in sin. He is indeed as dead and buried in the ground, as the book of Ezekiel describes it, as a body or a field of dry bones, buried and dead. This coin cannot shine to call attention to itself so it can be found, just as a person cannot shine or do anything before God to be found. That sinner is dead. He can't capture God's attention by anything he can do, just as a coin that is somewhere lost cannot do anything to somehow capture the woman's attention so that it can be found. The coin, you see, has to stay there and wait. So Jesus wants us to see that the lost sinner has to stay there and wait. As a coin has to wait to be found, so a person has to wait to be found. A person cannot do a work or something that's a good deed to somehow gain the attention of God, that God is now going to see that bright light shining on that work that that sinner did to somehow say, okay, now I'm going to save that person because of what they did. Everyone born in sin can do nothing to gain the attention of God based on their works. And anyone who is born in their sin is born under the wages of sin, which is death. And before God, because they are born in sin, there is no life. They are dead. And so in the parable, you see, the woman has to do all the finding, just as God has to do all the finding of a lost sinner. And that brings us then to the second point of emphasis in the parable of the lost coin as compared to the parable of the lost sheep. Now, you notice that as we read in verse 3 and 4 that the sheep that is lost is one of 100 sheep. That is, the shepherd has lost 1% of his flock. But in the parable of the lost coin, you see that there are 10 coins, and one of the 10 coins has been lost. That is now 10% of what she has been lost. The value, you see, has increased. The value that Jesus wants us to understand is increased because he is expressing the value in such a way that we will understand the greater emphasis in this second parable on the value. While the sheep is only 1% of the flock that is lost, the woman in the second parable has lost 10% of her coins. A greater percentage, a greater value has been lost, a greater value of the number of coins that she has been lost. And the value of the coin comes from her. She doesn't say to herself, okay, well, you know, I've got these 9, and that should probably be enough to get me by. And yeah, I misplaced that coin, that lost coin, and you know, but it's okay. I'll find it eventually. And if I don't find it, that's okay too. I've got my 9 and I've got enough. That's not the image that Jesus tells us in this parable. And that's because the Lord wants us to understand that as the woman values the coin, so does God value the lost sinner. God gives each sinner that is lost its value, because that sinner that is lost has value to God. And just as the shepherd values the lost sheep, so does the woman value the lost coin, and so does God value each person that is born in sin and lost in their sin with no salvation. And that's where, in this parable, the point of emphasis lies. You see, when the sheep wanders away, sometimes a shepherd will say, well, that sheep that's left is going to lose its value. That sheep, now that I'm going to search for and find, I'm going to find it perhaps sick. I'm going to find it malnourished, without water for some time. That sheep probably is going to be injured. That sheep may be starving. Maybe it won't even make it back when I find that sheep. And so even though I save the sheep and bring it back, there's a question as to whether I should even spend the time or the cost to nurse that sheep back to health. The sheep that is lost, you see, doesn't carry in the parable the same value, you see, of the 99 sheep that he still has. But in the parable of the lost coin, Jesus wants us to understand something more than he has already said in the parable of the lost sheep. The coin, you see, does not lose its value. For the woman who has lost her coin, she's got her 9 coins, and those coins carry a great value to her, each one representing its value on earth in the world in which she lives. And the coin that is lost, whether she finds it right away or finds it later, it will still carry the same exact value as the other coins that she has. It doesn't lose its value because it's dehydrated. It doesn't lose its value because it's starving, because it's not in good health. It carries the same value while lost as it carries in the 9 coins that she has. Now think about what that means then for the sinner that's lost. It is so easy for us today to think of ourselves, and as we see a person go off and live a life of sin, to say, well, we don't really care about them anymore. It's so easy to look at other sinners who do not know God and see how they think and live, and we think to ourselves, well, they're wicked people. God doesn't care about them anymore, and why should we care about them? We hear stories in the world around us, in the culture around us, of the wickedness of people who have engaged in wicked and sinful acts, and we want to think to ourselves, well, we'll just write them off. Who cares about them? They're wicked, they're rebellious against God, and they're just going to suffer God's judgment, and we shouldn't worry about them or do a thing. You notice today, we prayed in our morning prayer for a covenant child who's in a prison. And there are circumstances concerning this covenant child, this prisoner of war, and the circumstances are such where people aren't even sure as to whether he fell into this on his own or was captured. Nobody truly knows the whole story, and we may never know. But as this issue for a day of prayer was raised at our General Assembly, someone mentioned those circumstances. And the response of the church was, look, whatever the circumstances are, we have a covenant child who is in prison. And whatever the circumstances, we are going to pray for that covenant child. We are going to pray for his release. We are going to pray for his salvation. We are going to pray that somehow he will come back into the fold of God's people and into the church and join in worship on a Lord's day. That's what the parable of the lost coin is teaching us. That even though the coin is lost, the coin still has its value. That coin is as valuable lost to God as the 9 coins that she has. Why? Why? Why is a lost sinner who has rejected God still valuable to him? In the book of Genesis, the very first chapter of the Bible, chapter 1, we read a description of how God has made man. God tells us in Genesis 1, verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." That means that a person, male or female, from the very beginning was created in the image of God. Being created in God's image, that means each person, whether lost or found, is capable of knowledge and righteousness and holiness, just as our catechism tells us, that God puts in each person, each man, each woman, he puts in each person a soul that animals and other living things on earth do not have. And just because a person is lost, just because a person who is born in sin and has suppressed their knowledge of God with their sin, that does not make that person who has been created in God's image less valuable to God. As the coin continues to hold its value, whether it is lost, so the person who is lost continues to hold its value before God. Every person born into this world, lost or found, is valuable to God because they are created in God's image. And as being created in God's image, they are valuable to Him and even to the angels in heaven. Remember how this parable ends. Remember how the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner, every sinner that repents. When a sinner repents, when a man or a woman repents and comes unto God in salvation, there is joy, heavenly joy in heaven, because that is what is so valuable to God. When one of you loses a coin or something of value and you pray that God will return that thing to you or whatever it is that you have lost, if you've taken a financial loss and it comes back to you, do the angels in heaven sing? Do they sing, "Oh, we're so happy that so-and-so has back what they lost, that possession that they lost, or that thing that they've prayed for and they've wanted their whole life and now they finally have it," and the angels in heaven are singing because you have that? A coin or a thing has no value in heaven. The only thing that the angels sing about with joy and salvation is when a sinner, a valuable sinner, an image bearer of God, comes unto salvation in Him. That, you see, is what's valuable in heaven. And it brings us then to the third point of emphasis, which the parable of the lost coin emphasizes over the parable of the lost sheep. You notice that as the shepherd goes out, he goes into the open country in verse 4, and he goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he finds the sheep that is lost, verse 5 tells us that he lays it on its shoulders, rejoicing. Now the picture we're to see from that is that as the shepherd, Jesus Christ, comes into this world, he goes like the shepherd to find the lost sheep. And as he goes to find them, he doesn't say to the sheep as the shepherd, he doesn't say to the person as the shepherd did not say to the sheep, "Well, I'm going to pull you along and drag you, and I'm going to make you walk home for getting lost." He doesn't throw them around his back like a sack of potatoes and carry this big sheep on the way home. He picks up that sheep. And he puts that sheep and its legs around his shoulders. And he carries that sheep home. That's what our Savior has done for us on the cross. He knows that the sheep, he knows that the sinner can never make it to heaven on his own. He comes into the world to die on the cross and to pay for that sinner's sins and to rise from the grave and to carry that sinner home. But now as we go to the second parable, we again see another point of emphasis that the parable of the lost sheep does not make. And we see it at the end of verse 8. If she loses one coin, what does she do? Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? That light that the woman lights to somehow look for her sheep is a light that shines. The light of Christ is what God wants us to see when He came into a dark world filled with dead sinners. Sinners who cannot see the salvation of God on their own because they've suppressed the knowledge of God in their own sin. But Jesus, as we have seen in the Gospel of Luke, has come into the world as God's very own Son. His own Son who came into this world as the light of salvation, who came to save those dead sinners by dying on the cross and paying for their sin and rising out of the tomb. And the Savior, God's Son who came, sweeps. He sweeps as the woman is sweeping her house, sweeping away the dirt, trying to uncover that coin on her dirt floor, wherever it has fallen or come or fallen under the dust. She's going to sweep it away and bring that coin back. And so our Savior, you see, who has come from heaven, is sweeping away the dirt from dead sinners who are in the grave. Those sinners are going to come to life. He is going to sweep. He is going to remove the dirt. He is going to find them. He will seek them diligently until every one is found. Now you say, Pastor Rob, are you making too much of those illustrations? But again, be reminded of the repetition from one parable to the other. As we go and we see the salvation story of the lost sheep, the shepherd comes home, we're told, and he calls together his friends and neighbors and he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost." He's called together his friends and neighbors to hear the salvation story of his sheep, of the one who has come to salvation in God. The same joy, the same celebration, the same salvation story wants to be told by the woman. She has found her coin. She calls together her friends and neighbors, just as the shepherd did. She says to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." It's the salvation story that is the same. In the parable, Jesus wants us to see that the salvation story of each one of us is one that all needs to hear. All friends and neighbors need to hear what Christ has done for each one of you. Jesus Christ, who took you, born in sin, with no hope of eternal life, as the wages of sin you deserve, death. But God sent His Son and changed your heart. God brought that dead heart that cannot obey God, that cannot be found on its own. God took you, who were of no value to Him based on your works, and he found value in you. He found you. He brought you unto himself. He sent his son to bring that about by having his son die on the cross and pay for those sins by which you were dead so that you could live. So that you could be found. So that you could join the celebration with the angels of God in heaven. Don't you see how this coin is expanding? The parable of the coin is expanding so much on the parable of the lost sheep. For as the lost sheep parable ends, we read there is joy in heaven. And the same thing we read from the next parable is that it is over one sinner who repents. And we see those same themes at the end of the parable of the lost coin. There's joy in heaven, and the joy is about one sinner, every sinner that repents. But the second parable adds to the celebration. The joy is before the angels of God. The heavenly chorus is celebrating. The heavenly chorus celebrates over what God has done. That God has taken a dead sinner and regenerated that dead sinner's heart by his power of his Spirit. That God has enabled that dead sinner to repent. And God, as his angels celebrate, receives all the glory. The angels don't celebrate what you did. They celebrate what God did to that image bearer of God who has been saved. That's the heavenly joy. That's the emphasis the second parable wants us to see. That's the story of salvation that God wants you to rejoice in today as you reflect on what the salvation story of God is for you. Because if heaven is rejoicing in your salvation, why aren't you? Why isn't that the joy of your heart? Why aren't you joining in with the angels of God? Why aren't you, despite all the circumstances in your life, whatever it is you've lost, a lost coin or a lost thing of value, or all the difficulties you face, and you pray and hope so much for the restoration of all those things? But in this parable, Jesus tells us what is the central issue and should be the central issue of your life and joy. That God has taken you, a fallen sinner, dead in the ground, and has given you, by the power of his Spirit, life. So that your heart has repented of your sin, and you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the angels in heaven have celebrated before God over you. This morning, you have the opportunity to participate in that joy. Not only do you rejoice in the joy of hearing, but also the joy of seeing what Christ did for you. Through the visible means of grace, you see the light of heaven's salvation. Through the elements that are presented before you in this supper, you participate in heaven's joyous banquet. That as you have come here this morning, repenting of your sin and looking to your Savior, who is your salvation and nothing else, you participate in the joy of heaven, not over what you did, but what God has done for you. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this parable, which reminds us of your grace. For we are lost in our sin, but you found us valuable. We do not deserve this salvation, but your grace, your Son, has found us and will not stop until all of his people are found. May you grant us your grace to understand and know this salvation. As we participate now in this supper, may we participate with joy, knowing that it has come to us only by your grace. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.